be all right. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Second Samuel chapter 22, and we're going to look at verse 29. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. Verse 30. For by thee have I run through truth. By my God have I leaped over a wall. Look at your name, say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
I leaped over the wall.
Title
of the message today is Leaping Over a Wall. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever ran into a wall? Have you ever been going somewhere, headed somewhere, and ran into a brick wall and did not know what to do? Frustrated. Something got after you, or you were after something. There are two things about this. Something was making you run, and you ran into a wall, or you were after something and ran into a wall. But walls are in all of our lives. Every day we have to stand before walls. Last year I was in a wall, but I leaped over a wall. When we had watch night service the other night, all I could think about after 12 o'clock, thank you, Jesus, I leaped over 2017, and I leaped into 2018. Thank you, Jesus, I leaped over that wall. But the fact that I leaped over last year's wall doesn't mean I won't run into some walls this year. And some of you can just look back and say, some walls I leaped over last year, some walls I had to run up against last year, and now here we are in this new year. Can you look back and tell somebody I leaped over some walls right now? Tell somebody I leaped over some serious walls. I leaped over some high walls. But here's the point. The point is not that you had a wall high, you leaped. You made it over that wall. What am I talking about today? Walls are in everybody's life. You're going to face some walls. Am I looking at some young people here today? You're going to be challenged about some walls. This is about a challenge. Leaping over a wall is about a challenge. Life is full of challenges. You're going to be a, you know what? The good thing about a challenge proves what you made out of. When you're challenged about something, you have unknown resources. You have power you didn't know you had. You get challenged when you got to make a decision about something, you'll discover you know how to make decisions. When you get a challenge about school, and it's a hard school, you know the importance that you can pass. Because you passed some courses you didn't think you could pass. It was a challenge. A challenge brings out the power in us that we did not know we had. Yeah. When you're faced with walls in life, it makes you come up with things you didn't think you could do. It makes you have strength that you didn't know you had. Let some animal attack a baby from a mother. That mother might run from that dog. But you let that dog put his hands on that baby. That mama will come with her fist. She'll take that dog and wring her finger down his mouth and pull his tongue out. Man, you mess with a mother's child. You'll find out. They always even say a grizzly bear will run from a male bear, but let him attack her little one. She will fight him to death because a challenge is there. She got to defend her children. And that's what a mother is. A mother will give her life for her child because it's a challenge. When a man walks off and leaves you and you thought you couldn't make it without him, you let him leave and you don't have no other man to help you, you'll find out that woman will get up and be the man of the house. That woman will find out, I didn't know I could pay rent. That woman will tell, I didn't know I could buy my own car. You will find out you can do without some folk when you're challenged. But until you get a challenge, you don't think you can do without some people. If you don't think you can live without some folks, just let them die. If you don't think the church can run without you, don't you mess around here and die. Baby, if you die, Mount Carmel gonna still be moving. Amen. If you leave, you're gonna find out there gonna still be a church. We've seen people go and come, and it's still a church. The church can go on with or without you. Don't ever think that can't nobody make it without you. If you think they can't, just die. And I declare I buried a lot of folk, but I have never seen them stay in the casket with loved ones. I've seen them cry on the casket. I've seen them fall on the casket. But when I got to that graveyard and I said ashes to ashes, dust to dust, they got right on up and left. And came on with me. You know why? Because it's over. Now you have to go on with your life. You can't die because the dead's gone. That's not God's will. If God wanted to take you, he would have taken you. So you live on. You go on. You thank God for the challenge. Because now you're going to find out what you can do by yourself. Some of you all right now, some young men talking about, I didn't have no daddy to help me. My father never put his arms around me. He never encouraged me, but did it stop you? Maybe it was good you didn't have that. You know why? Because you're not spoiled and ruined. Now you know how to get up and do for yourself. Now you know that, now that you know that you didn't have a father there, you had to become a father. You had to become a man. You had to do for yourself. And Abraham Lincoln said, out of all that I am, I became what I am after I lost my mother and my father. He picked himself up, took Shakespeare in one hand and the Bible in the other hand, and became a brilliant lawyer. He did it on his own. When you don't have nobody to do for you, you will do it on your own. That's a challenge. And God sometimes will let us run into a wall so you can learn the power of leaping. This psalm is the Bible, evidently it's David. David is saying, thank you, God. It's a song of praise and thanksgiving. Looking back over what I have gone through, I leaped over a wall. You're going to have some walls. I'm telling you right now, you're going to have some walls this year. So what are you going to do? Get over it. Thank you, sister. You're the only one helping me preach today. There have been a lot of walls in history. Walls have always stood out in my mind. We are the recipient of some information today because of walls. Stone Age. And all the things that we learn about man in the past is written on walls. I had an opportunity to go down in Egypt and go down in the Great Pyramid. And when I went all down in the hole and see King Tut's grave and all the other little places where these Egyptians or pharaohs were buried, I saw all these paintings on the walls and the writings on the wall. It gives us the history. And Indians will tell you, go and look on some of the walls. You'll see the histories about other people. I'm talking about a great flood came worldwide. You go all around, you see where a whole lot of things took place, and we learn from what men have written on walls. The Bible says that Babylon was the oldest city in the world, and it was known for its walls, which were 350 feet high. And these walls were the walls that terrified the enemy, and God wrote on Belshazzar's wall. He was depending on his wall, and then God wrote on his wall. Walls tell so much. Kings used to leave things on the wall so that their accomplishment would be discovered. And, of course, what comes to my mind is the Great Wall of China. The Great Wall of China, which is run 1,400 miles long and about 25 and 30 feet tall. It's a wonder in the world with the great engineering and how that done 300 years before Christ was born. China built that wall, going over valleys, going over mountains, going over rivers. That wall, 1,400 feet long, 30 feet tall. The Great Wall of China that they boast on today. But what is it saying about that wall? That wall is about separation. Countries and states are separating themselves. That's the danger of these walls. They separate us. I know why the Pope condemned our President Trump about that wall he wants to build. The Pope condemned him because walls separate us. And that's not God's will that we be separated. God didn't put us here to be separated. God put us all here together. And if there's racism in this country that we don't want to mix with other people, it's not God's will. If God wanted us to live separately, he would have put us on some other planet. But I got a word for all of you that's full of racism. God meant for us to live together, and he didn't put us on but one world. Now, you can go to the moon, you can go to other stars, you can search out the planetary world, and you can go around looking for life, and all you found is rocks. You know why that's all you found is a bunch of rocks? Because that's what God intended for, to be just a rock. He put life on this earth. And he did not put us on several earths so you could live somewhere else. He put us all here together, and we have to live together. We have to work out our differences. We may be different in culture and in language, but we're all blood is red. And when you do a research on it, all people act the same. The same problem exists in the white, exists in the black, exists in all races. Some of the same jealousy, envy, strife, anger, family problem, divorce, name it, crime, on down. All that stuff is in all races. There are other countries that are racist against their own color. That's racism in Russia. That's racism in Egypt. That's racism all over the world. That's racism among blacks. When I was a student at Morehouse College, it was racism because a Spelmanite, she wouldn't date you unless she was a Morehouse man, and that's why I like to got beaten up by a boy in Morris Brown. I had a Morehouse jacket on, and he said, "Yeah, you got one more time to wear it over here again." I said, "Why you messing with me, bro? Y'all think you something." I said, "I can't help it because the lady that Spelmanite." Some Spelmanite married some Morehouse bro, married some Morehouse man, and some of them married some Morris Brown man. There's some of them married. I got one who married. One is a Spelmanite, she married Brother Norris. He's a Morris Brown man, he got her too. See, that is nothing but plain racism right there against some of our own people don't want to be around our own people. That's racism. Some of you all got little cliques in the church. You won't even sit with certain folk because they don't drive certain cars. That's racism. That's a wall. We don't need no wall separating us. You know why? I think about the Great War of World War II. When the Allies and America decide on D-Day to liberate France from the Nazis. On D-Day, they came in to liberate France because Great Britain was about to go under to Hitler. But you know what? Churchill kept begging Roosevelt to help them in the war. Roosevelt didn't want to get in the war because America didn't want no wars. After World War I, they didn't want another war. America wanted to get happy and have parties. Boom! When the Japs bombed Pearl Harbor, Roosevelt said, I got my chance. Then he declared war on Japan. But that gave him the opportunity to hook up with Churchill. And when America, and then Hitler, declared war on America. Yes, he did. America. And then that gave Roosevelt the opportunity to not join up with Great Britain. And when they came after Hitler on D-Day, Hitler was going after Russia, and America came in at him. Now watch this. Hitler got stopped at Stalingrad because his Sixth Army went there to take Stalingrad, but they got caught in the Russian winter snow. And it froze. In fact, my history show reminds me of Napoleon lost his army messing around with that snow. And that freezing weather froze his army, and Hitler didn't give those men enough equipment and food and clothing. And they froze in Stalingrad. And then the Red Army came in after them when they found out Japan was not going to attack Russia and knocked them out. And when all those countries came together, the big three came together, Roosevelt, Churchill, and Stalin. It's called the Big Three. They knew they had defeated Hitler, so the Big Three, I like to preach a sermon on the Big Three one day. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The Big Three came, they had gotten together to divide Germany. They had already said, let's meet and see how we're going to divide. Great Britain, what peace you going to get? America, what peace you going to get? Stalin, what peace you going to get? So America was trying to beat Russia to Berlin so they would grab the city first. But the Red Army beat us down. And when Russia got there ahead of us and found Hitler body had been burned, then there come a great wall between the East and the West that separated Germany. And what my history tells me, Ronald Reagan told Gorbachev, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down these walls. Bring that wall down so there be no more separation between sisters and brothers. Walls separated. If you're not careful, there'll be a wall in your family. You'll be in one area of the house and somebody else in another area. One thing about me growing up with my sisters and brothers, I knew all of them. Because it wasn't one room in a house. Wasn't no such thing as go up to your room. What room? Now all these big houses we have, kids can say, when you say go up to your room, the kids saying, thank you, Jesus. Because up there in his room, he got all that he needs. All the video games. He can go up there and play with his computer. Oh, it's so much. A big house sometimes can cause separation. You don't know each other. Everybody's separated, going their places. But when we were living in those little small houses, we all knew each other because there was no wall. Sometimes success can ruin you. Now you're so busy making a living, you haven't made a life. I only took some more at these walls. Now that we know we have to face some walls, I want to tell you, some walls God won't demolish. There's no demolition. When you run up against certain walls, I'm afraid you need to know this, God will not knock it down. Most of us, when we run up against a wall, we want some demolition. You know what Warner said? Lord, now if you my God, you need to move this wall. You need to move this woman. You need to move this man. I know some of you old women out there say, Lord, please move it. I can't go nowhere. Will you move? All right, you all looking at me funny. I wouldn't say that if some of you all already said, oh, please, Lord, move her. Lord, will you move this woman? I wish I could get rid of her. She's trouble. Will you move her? And don't say, Lord, move the pastor. No, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Have you been on your job and you had a mean boss and you said, Lord, I need this income. I don't want to leave my job. I've been here too long. Lord, I know some of y'all probably came up here with a seat off and said, Lord, just put on that, please move them. And you go back the next day on your job thinking they're gone and they were just on vacation. You shouted too soon. God will not move some walls. He will not take some folk out your life. I don't care how hard you pray. You will pray to God to move some situation out your life and look like he moved everything but that wall. I don't know about you. Have you ever asked God to move some thing and he moved them and the very thing you really want him to move, he won't? Why? Some things God doesn't want to move. He wants you to leave. Listen, Inez used to sing a song. Lord, you don't have to move my mountain, but give me strength to climb. What is that saying to me? Why won't God heal some sickness? Why won't God take away some habits? If some habits were not in your life, you would probably tell the Lord, I'm sure, Lord, if you just move this, I could be a better Christian. Lord, if you take this old drinking habit from me, I could be a better person. Lord, if you just take this smoking out my mouth, Lord, and they won't smell that on my breath, I know I could be a better Christian. Lord, if you just take some of these desires that I have that not Christian, I could pray better. And God won't. You know why? Because in your weakness, God shows his strength. Yeah. Bible said, through your weakness, God is making you somewhat perfect. You know what? That doesn't make sense, Reverend. Because God wants you to depend upon his strength. God does not want you boasting on your strength. God wants you to boast on his strength in your weakness. In your weakness, you are dependent on God. In your weakness, you're asking God to help me. In your weakness, God is seeing you dependent on his power. So now that you're getting God's power, now you can say, I can do all things. Help me, Holy Ghost. When I was building this church for you and I ran out of money and I needed $300,000, there was no roof on the building. The building was standing here. My contractors walked off and I said, Lord, what am I going to do now? They laughing at me. Preacher saying, biting off more than he can chew. And the humiliation went on. A wall, the storm came through and knocked down the first walls of the unit. Preachers laughed all about me. See, God knocked it down. I said, yes, and God provided me some insurance. They're coming back up. The humiliation. And when I finally start selling stocks and bonds. I start selling bonds all over the country to build this church, by the way. And when I sold bonds, I didn't know what I was going to do. My contractors walked off. I said, y'all going to walk off and leave me? Gone, man. We can't pay our people with our money. I went on my knees. I prayed right here in the middle of this floor one night at 12 in the midnight. I said, God, if you want me to build this church, you got to help me now. I don't have the money. I called some of my big friends that always smile in my face. I'm with you. You know how we say, I'm with you. It's called the be with you members. Not with you, the be with you members. And when you run into a real trouble, I call some of my millionaire friends. And you know what they gave me? The voicemail. You know what they did? They put me in touch with the secretary. And then they went to talking all kind of ways when they talk. Well, I don't know. You're going to have to do this. You're going to have to do that. I just said, I'm forgetting about all of them. I went to God. And all of a sudden, I got a notice that you have not only got that $300,000, you got a little bit more. Prayer. We finished this wall. We finished this roof. And I raised up the pulpit. There's a pulpit under this pulpit. I said, Lord, take it a little higher so they can see me in the balcony. Praise God. And when I went out of town, I said to the man who we were building the construction on the building, and we had sheetrocked it, and he said, Reverend, this was supposed to be a flat, it was supposed to be a wall this straight. I said, sir, I want you, that beam going across it to hold this roof up, I want you to arch it. He said, that's not in the plan. I said, I'm the plan. Do what I say. I designed the whole church. I said, do it, sir. I know what God's telling me. He said, all right, I'm going to put the arch there like you want it, Reverend. I said, thank you. Now, I said, now I want you to put a cross there. I can do all things through Christ to strengthen me. Amen. He said, what? I said, that's going to be the philosophy and my motto for this church. He said, why you want that? I said, God told me. That's my testimony with every member walk in. Amen. He said, Reverend, the word's too long. That won't fit that arch. It's going to run all over the church. I said, I know what God said. Just do it. I went out of town. He said, well, you leaving me? I said, yes, sir. Do what I ask. He went on and he started doing the work. I'm out of town. We didn't have cell phones then. So all of a sudden he called me and said, Reverend, not only were the word, the I, and on the E, it fits. He said, I put the scripture right up under that. He said, but what shocked me, the word Christ is in the middle. I can leap over the wall. I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. If I had the strength of Muhammad Ali, I could dance around. Sting like a bee. If I had the strength of Joe Louis, I could knock out any Max Smith. If I had the strength of Hank Aaron, I could knock over 783 home runs. If I had the strength of a Mike Tyson, I'd knock you out if you mess with me. But since I don't have that strength, I got the strength of God, and I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. Thank God. I leap over the wall of construction by the help of God. In your weakness, God shows his power. When you've done all you can do, that's when God moves in. When a man finds out he doesn't have nobody else but God, that's when he finds out God is enough. God will never show his power as long as you're in his way. But when you get out of the way of God and you say, Lord, not my might, but by your might. Not by my name, but your name. Not by my voice, but your voice. Not by my understanding, but your wisdom. Not by my experience, but your experience. I can conquer anything. I can leap over any wall as long as God give me the power. God help me this morning. You can't do it. Overcome no habit by yourself. It takes the power of God. You can't handle your enemies. You're too weak. But the power of God. Yeah. That power of God can help you overcome and leap any wall. Now let me tell you something else. You can't leap if you don't want it bad. A lot of y'all, you don't want something bad enough. That's why you want demolition. Because leaping is about doing something and not saying something. See, a whole lot of y'all want to leap over some wall by saying, Lord, do it for me. And Lord say, you do it. Well, Lord, I can't leap over this wall. I guess you can. Because it requires the supernatural. But you can leap over the natural. I'm here to help you leap over what you can't leap. But what you can leap over, you leap. You don't want God to pay your bills. And you sit down on your blessed assurance. And do nothing. You all want a great